What it means to be a sloth, chapter 12. Is there a cause of slothfulness? In his compendium on sloths, M. Goffert includes one section entitled Slothfulness. He describes observations in the field, experimental results, and the hypotheses of scientists concerning the causes of slothfulness. Various possible explanations are brought forth. Small heart, slow speed of muscle contraction, low body temperature, low rate of thyroid function, and so forth. He describes the shortcomings of each particular hypothesis and concludes that the evidence as to the real causes of slothfulness is thus far from complete. If he were writing today, he might include conjectures about genetic mechanisms. Goffert points out, for example, that the sluggish koala has a constant body temperature of 36 degrees Celsius. Since this is a normal body temperature for mammals, it seems evident that it cannot be causing the koala's sluggishness. Since causes are assumed to be general, he includes that temperature will also not be the cause of slothfulness in sloths. Goffert assumes that the causes of slothfulness will one day be found. We are just lacking the necessary information. I question this assumption and believe that such an example shows, in fact, primarily the limitations of the conceptual framework. In treating aspects of an organism as potential causes, we conceptually lift them out of the organism. Then we think of them affecting things in the organism as though they were not part of it. By so doing, we can think in general terms of the factor body temperature as a cause, as if separate from the organism. But every time we carry through this process, we realize that our conceptual scheme doesn't fit reality, because we are confronted with mutual relations, all of which express something of the animal as a whole. If we drop this scheme, then it becomes interesting that body temperature evidently means two very different things in the koala and the sloth. Instead of looking for genetic or physiological causes that we assume have general validity, we look at the unique expression of physiological facts in the given context. We take the unique integrity of each animal seriously. It is second nature for a scientist to inquire after the causes of what is under investigation. Some would even say this is the task of science. But in the context of organisms, this method alone is not adequate. Putting it a bit radically, biologists would do well to eradicate the term cause from their vocabulary and use the more modest and open term condition. What genetic, physiological, behavioral, and ecological studies can show is how aspects of an organism provide mutual and changing conditions for each other. This knowledge is extremely valuable, as long as we don't separate it from the organism as a whole. In fact, it can be the gateway to understanding the organism as an integrated whole.